this is Pearl and Podcast. Today, I'm not in Paris, but I'm in France. I'm actually in Burgundy, sitting here with Michael Coleman. Actually, I just went to his studio, and this morning, I forgot I was doing a podcast. I thought I was having lunch with him. And then I arrived, I see all my producer, my cameraman. So I quickly did my quick makeup, and here I am with my artist, Michael Coleman. Michael, can you briefly to tell our followers, our viewers, who you are?
Thank you, Pearl. It's always a pleasure having you here.
I love your food.
Yes, you love your food. I hope you love my art. So I'm Slovak-born, Paris-based artist, now French-based artist, because I moved my studio to Burgundy about 6 months ago. So we are about 120 kilometers outside of Paris, and it's a real countryside. I know that you are a city cat.
I'm turning into a country pumpkin now.
Yes, I hope that we succeeded, you know, to turn you to country pumpkin. And I'm very happy that I'm here with you today talking about the art, because this is something we have got in common.
Yes.
Well, there are more things we've got in common.
Okay, I'm sitting here looking on these majority blank painting. What are you doing here? I saw some sketching, but a painting like this, how long will you need to finish it? Is this mine?
This is yours.
Oh, this is mine. Please look at it. This is mine.
It's when it's done, it's yours. When it's too good, it's mine. I keep it. No, I started about 2 weeks ago, something. So this is the whole process is quite slow, because I really paint with a tiny brush and every color. It's like printing, basically. But what you are looking at here, it's our garden. It's right outside. So there is this water tank we installed in our garden with a fountain. I actually sculpted that one this summer, and because we wanted a fountain in the garden, of course, without the water element, you know, you have to have a water element in your garden.
Feng shui as well.
Yeah,
you need water.
You need water. So I sculpted this antique Roman or Greek deity somehow, so the birded face. It's a god of abundance and orchards and gardens, and I just took him actually from a Soviet propaganda pictures. So I recomposed different Soviet propaganda pictures, and I decided to put him there as an anonymous person that looks rather like a little bit pathetic, you know. It looks a little bit like sacred, you know. You feel like it's something you have to praise. And then there are flowers, because I love flowers. And they're displayed in a way they are in a garden, like a sort of the botanical book.
Yeah.
So there is one species at the time in the foreground, and then another species a little bit taller in the background. And so the whole background is going to be ivy, because we've got a wall, very long, 10 meter or 12 meter long wall covered with ivy. It's going to be yours.
Ooh.
It's going to travel to China. Is it going to travel to China?
Of course. I like to put in my home. Let's start from your very beginning. You're born in Slovakia. At 5 years old, you started painting.
Exactly.
How? Why? And you start drawing, painting. Who start, you know? And who inspired you? What inspired you to paint?
My mother states that I actually start drawing before I could actually walk. So it was... I was 7 months old or something like that. She's keep telling these stories to all my friends. Like, 7 months old, you already were holding the pencil.
Seven months old,
yeah,
you
pencil,
hold
and you were drawing on the furniture and on the walls. And so it started like that. And I think it always been there in some way. And then I just spent all my time doing that, you know, painting, doodling, drawing. And then my grandpa decided to take me to an academic painter, because there was one very famous in my hometown. And he said, okay, let's do something with this boy, because he's not good at running after the ball and he's not good at sports. And he introduced me to this gentleman, and he immediately saw that there was something, and he said, okay, I can keep him. So I started my drawing and painting lessons when I was 5 with adults and older children, which was quite impressive to me.
So let me ask you, do you breathe art? Do you live for art? What does art to you mean?
Yeah, definitely. It's everything. I dream about the art. The first thing I think...
I thought you only dream about your husband.
Well, yeah. Well, the dream come true this summer. We married this summer, so the dream come true.
Congratulations.
But it's like, yeah, I dream about the art. The first thing I think of in the morning when I wake up is my next painting on the painting I'm working on. So it's,
I mean, when you see your painting, I remember the first time when I went to see your painting is very happy, and it looks like it is really graphic orientated.
Yeah,
right. Are you purposely doing in that style that you create works that people actually feel that, is this a graphic design or is this real? Did you purposely do it in that way? And what is the reason? What is the behind thoughts about all that?
All right. So yeah, it with years, it's become a concept, of course, and my signature. But this style, I think I've developed it quite unconsciously, because I love coloring books when I was a kid. So you have got these very precise shapes, and you have to fill them with color. And I was obsessed with coloring book. I had like all the Disney character coloring books, everything there was on the market, I had them. And I just spent hours and hours filling the blank spaces with color. And I actually was thinking about it quite recently, that this is how it actually began, because this is how I got involved with the graphic arts later, you know, when you're conscious about what the art is, the differences of genres and media. So I was really into posters when I was a teenager, and I was thinking about painting as something that needs to get closer to what is called applied arts, you know.
Right.
It's been done, of course, in the history.
So obviously, in your generation, there is no high art and low art.
Exactly. No. I hate this hierarchy. I really
because
don't like...
Because the high art and low art is something that people has been talking about and practicing. I think until recently, that hierarchy is, it's like it is collapsing.
Yeah, exactly. And I hope it's going to completely crumble, because, even today, like you hear some people think like, oh, your art looks like illustration, and there still is this condescending, you know, something about the painting as a high form of art and illustration as a low form of art. But Botticelli was illustrating, you know, Dante's Inferno, right? And Bonnard made so many illustrations and beautiful posters. And these are really people I admire in history of art. So I think the role of an artist is always to bring all the genres together. I love ceramics. I love looking at it. I'm unable to make a ceramic.
But I can invite you to Jindatsen to make ceramics.
Okay, I gladly try it. But I like it because I think that the Chinese vase, a beautiful Chinese vase, has to have as much estimation from the public as a painting, Western painting, may have, you know, because it's a form of art and it's a very elevated form of art.
I mean, when you are doing this sort of illustrative, graphic, thick sort of aesthetic art, you must suffer a lot of judgment.
The way was not easy. You know, the way through was not easy.
Because I think art world is full of judgmental, but we need judgment. But depending on whether you're strong enough to fight against judgment, to be yourself.
Yeah. But then you find in the history, when you look back at the history, you find people like Andy Warhol. I love Andy Warhol. Also because, you know, he's sort of a countryman, because his parents were from what today Slovakia is.
Yeah. Oh, I thought she was from Poland.
No, there is a museum in Slovakia dedicated to his work because his parents were from, but it used to be the Austrian-Hungarian Empire, whatever, it was a different country, but it happens to be a Slovakia today. And so there is something very similar because we've got these icons, you know, it's very religious when you look at what he did with all the famous people, the stars, the actors, the singers. It's very iconic. It's like Russian icons. It's exactly the same thing. And you produce the same image with the difference in color, but very tiny. But the icon is still there, you know, the face doesn't change. And this was something very important to me. And when I learned about his personal history, how much he was struggling, because he came from illustration.
Yeah, he was doing advertisement.
Yeah, he was doing advertisement.
Yeah.
I love advertisement. And he was coming from there, and he was actually asking people around him, what should I paint to please you? You know, it's very like customer oriented state of mind. And I really like that. Because he says that I want to show you what you are about, you know.
You know what?
I don't want to impose. I want to show you what you are about. I like that.
One day I'm going to challenge you. I will commission you to do a black and white painting.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to disappoint you because I did.
I love it.
I did a bunch of them.
Really?
Yes, I still have got one.
Really? Yeah. I want to see because all I can see is colors. And I come to your house, your kitchen is colors. What happened if you turn black and white?
It's sad.
Black and white?
Yeah, to me it's sad. Yeah, to me it's sad. And unless you know you put it in a context. I mean, when you got a very beautiful, colorful room with the wallpaper, Baroque or something very wild wallpaper, then the black and white painting is really nice. I wouldn't use black color anymore. Even if I need to paint with dark color, I will mix
Prussian blue.
Exactly.
So what is art for you actually means? Okay, today you're a professional artist, right?
Yeah.
You make your living on art. So, but what does it reflect? Does it reflect your life? I know that when you started going out with your husband now, you were painting him.
Yes.
So your artwork is reflecting your life. Your artwork is reflecting your heart. What is art for you?
There always needs to be a connection between the subject I paint and my life. Because I need this kind of relationship. I spend a lot of time in front of the blank canvas because of the technique, you know. So it takes me months. And you have to develop this relationship. I cannot paint something I don't like. To me, my art, let's put it that way, is about putting a part of myself out there in front of the people in a way I would love to see it myself. You know, it's a sort of social media. You know, we always put on Instagrams the life we would love to have. You know,
I thought you show in Instagram the life that you are experiencing.
Swimming pool pictures, holiday pictures. You know, you have got 20 of those. But how many I wash my dishes pictures you have on your Instagram? Nobody cares about that, yeah, right? So everybody wants to put out there the life they would dream of. You know, the holiday, the pleasant side of the life. And this is, I think, the painting is the same thing to me. You know, the painters, when they are painting a subject, they're picking the subject up because they want to say something, but they want to affect the viewer.
What are your paintings saying? Saying about yourself, saying about your life?
Yeah.
Does expressionism constitute in your work?
Yes. I'm very influenced by expressionism and symbolism. I love looking at those guys.
I can see
and
symbolism.
Yeah, I love looking at those guys because they were trying to show you the world they experience so you can relate to it. Because everybody has got state of mind. Everybody, you know, I paint a lot of still lives. I paint a lot of gardens. I paint flowers. And everybody feels happy when they see a flower. I don't know many people who feel sad when they see a flower and they say, oh, I don't want to see such things, you know.
Actually, what I like about your paintings are the composition.
Mathematics.
Yeah, how you put one thing juxtaposed on the other things. And those are not actually not still life. Those is in your imagination.
Yeah.
I think that for me is splendid. Because usually when you talk about composition and all that, you usually has to display something. Because the way you do it is complicated as well. It's not something that without displaying it, you can, you know, like what you did on the Soul Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
With all the things on the table. My first thought was thinking that you must have displayed everything there before you paint it.
No.
Because, exactly. Because for your imagination to put everything together, I thought that was, that is ingenious. Because it's not just anything that you paint from still life.
No, it's mathematics. I pick up the objects I want to represent. So this is the symbolic side of the painting, because I want to say something through objects I put in my paintings and through color. And then the expressive thing is how you put it all together chromatically. So the contrast, the harmonies, and so on. But when I look at the blank canvas, there is a mathematical image of everything, you know, like it needs geometry, very precise geometry. And then I start to fill the space with different objects, different patterns, flat surfaces, and surfaces with motif or adornments. Mm. Yeah. So this is what I do most of the time.
Yeah, because I thought that was, for me, is pretty ingenious, because to do all that mixture of different objects and everything, usually you really have to put things together.
This is why I say I need to be in a relationship with objects or subjects I paint, because all the objects I put on the canvas, they don't come from my mind. You know, they are real objects in my possessions or people's possessions when I paint for customers. And so I need to look at that object.
Not customers, clients.
Clients, when I paid for clients. So the thing is, I have to be friendly with object. I look from different angles and I'm thinking about, am I going to use it? How I'm going to use it? And the good thing, of course, it's complicated when you don't have a still life in front of you. But the good thing is that I was lucky enough to get befriended with Oriental art.
I mean, Chinese way of painting is we never have perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It's a multi-focus on different, yeah.
Yeah. And so you can work also what is important in a painting, what you want to put forward, what you want to put in the background, what is more decorative, what is here to serve chromatical purposes, and what is here to serve mathematical purposes within the composition. And this is so clever. So when you observe Chinese painting, Persian miniatures, and this kind of Oriental arts, you just realize how very accurate actually they are, but they are accurate in a study of each object separately, and then they are put together very freely so they can be a masterpiece, because they actually invite you to spend time going through the painting, you know.
Okay, so what is your relationship with conceptual art?
With conceptual art?
Because, you know, conceptual art is what today we call about contemporary art. So what is your relationship with conceptual art?
I like the experience part of the conceptual art, performances and stuff like that. So I like that part. But I think that also painting or graphic art, they can be conceptual in a way if they invite you.
So what is
you.
The concept?
The concept is the spending time and feel how the time is passing, because you find yourself outside of the time when you look at the painting. Not everybody realizes how much time you spend actually in front of the painting when you really go deep into it.
Yes, of course. When you paint, you have
and then
to,
suddenly
you have to be connected. You have to have a dialogue with
yeah,
the,
and
with
when
the
you
canvas.
Are having these dialogues, suddenly the time flies. So you are outside of the real time, right? The time around you. But then there's a different time like this Proustian time, you know, when you read a very long sentence and you still think, okay, it took me 3 minutes, but it has taken you 15 in reality. So this is what I like. This is what the concept is in my painting, actually, that I want people to look for objects, trying to identify them, trying to connect with those objects, question them. Where does it come from? Why is it here? So they spend time with art, because spending the time in front of the painting for me is the most important thing personally, you know, in the world.
Okay, because today when we talk about conceptual art, we talk about politics. We talk about the social conditions. Yeah. We talk about philosophy. We talk about whatever. So if we aren't using that perspective of conceptual art, are you denying it or are you compromising with it?
I am not a political artist. I do not comment any whatever happens in the world in my painting in a direct way. When I decide to put a book about an artist in my composition, that to me is a sufficient, you know, commentary or statement about what I think and what I want people to question in the art. You know, I don't want to tell them you have to think this way or this is good or this is bad. I just put it there.
You pose a question.
And they have to question it. Okay, do I see it in a good way or bad way? Is it here as a criticism or is it here as a compliment? So it's more, you know, they are more connected with what you do. Because I don't want to shout on people my opinions about a life. I really don't like that. And I don't feel related to that kind of art even.
Because today, most of this very successful artists, they're all very politically driven.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because they become a commentary about a society, and the second underlying is about philosophy. Mm. But yours is just you.
Yeah, and you pointed it out. You said that the paintings look very happy. Mm. It's all about the happiness. But happiness is a psychological state of mind. So I'm more interested in psychology than in politics. Because your inner life, what you hold within, you know, it's far more important than what happens around you, of course.
Since I see your art, your pieces of artwork, makes me think about graphic design, makes me think about illustration, magazine printing. Don't you think that it's easier just to use a software, just to have AI to do it?
Oh, it's much easier. Of course it's much
easier. So why are you doing it? Why do we want your art if we can get it from AI?
So why, I returned you the question, why would haute couture people, you know, sew beautiful garments by hand,
yeah,
if a machine can do it? You know, I love people who make things with their hands. It's very important to me because you are connected with the material. And I want to be connected with the material. And actually, a friend of mine pointed it out 3 or 4 years ago. I told her, you know, I do these flat things and I really enjoy doing these flat things. Why do I do it? Why am I attracted to this? And she said, well, Windows 95 paint. You want to compete with the computer when you were a child? I said, exactly. I spent so many hours trying to paint on a computer and it was just so bad.
At that time, the software was not as good.
It was not as good. So I got stuck in this time machine, you know, like about 30 years ago. And I still want to do this paint Windows 95 thing, but doing it with my hands. So it would be easier, of course, to use AI to produce these images. But then there's a very selfish thing to it. I love spending time in front of my painting.
Because I tell you, I did see a lot of painters, especially in all over the world. I mean, in China, all over the world. What they do is they make the whole composition in a computer. And then they use the computer images and then they copy it onto the canvas. Mm-hmm. That's what they usually do. But for you is you just give a blank canvas, look at this, and just paint on this. And everything is based on your imagination.
Yeah.
Which is really amazing because I always said that with AI coming, the craft that you can paint
Yeah, the craft and the skill.
In 10 years' time, 20 years' time, all this will be celebrated. Because we are so lack of this. Because most of the art school today, they don't necessarily teach you how to paint.
They teach concepts. Yeah, you have to be very good at describing what you would love to do without necessarily doing it. So this is my opinion about many of these art schools. But what I really like, as you said, yeah, the craft, the skill, that you have to spend time, you have to fail. This is what is important. But it's not just the making process. It also the thinking process, because the thinking process is as important as the what you put out there doing. You know, so this painting, they have to exist in my brain before I put them on the canvas, because I cannot correct things on the canvas, and I want the colors to be very vivid, so I never overlayer or overlap them, and so the whole painting has to somehow exist on my canvas before I start putting color on it.
Sometimes the paintings that I really resonate is you take some Chinese motif and the other ones you take some Japanese motif.
Yeah, I do that.
Why are you so enticed to all these Japanese and Chinese culture?
And I am very fond of Eastern arts and Eastern crafts, because in terms of decorative arts, let's put it that way, they're the best. They're very codified, but at the same time, very free in expression. And they put colors together in a completely different manner than the Western art would since Da Vinci until 19th century art, which everything was brown.
Yeah.
With a little bit of red or with a bit of blue, you know, it's boring art. So I love Eastern art for that, the use of color.
The vibrant.
The vibrant. And also the use of mathematics is a different use of mathematics. It's not about the square and the circle. Not just. It goes, you know, further than that. It's about algebra. It's about rational numbers. So the geometry, the composition is completely different. Because when you analyze Rubens's painting, you know, it's all it's curved this way, curved that way, square here, and that's it. 340 times. Yes. In every painting, and Eastern art, it's something completely different. It gives me boobs.
We don't have a formula
No. There is no such formula. So you are
because
very
because I told you multifocus. You just put
This is genius.
But for Chinese art or the basic, the Asian China aesthetic is also very different from the West's. We never use paint painted over the whole part of the canvas.
Blank is important.
No, because of Taoism, you seek the balance and harmony between the painted area and the non-painted area. Yeah. So you're always leaving the white, but you don't have that.
No, I don't have. Well, even if I have white, it's going to be painted. There's a paint. There never is a white space. I find this balance between flat surfaces without any adornment on it, and then the one with motifs. So it's, I like the fact that I take a bit of a codified element in Japanese or Chinese decoration, and then I put it as a bush outside. You know, I just cover the bush with some beautiful motif from China or from Japan or for India or whatever, and the bush is, you know, just a representation of a mental state somehow. Yeah. So this is why I like these two connections. Like inside.
When did you first visited Asia?
First time I was 22, Japan. 23, I was 23 years old,
so,
Japan.
So you were very taken by Japan.
Yes, very taken. Actually, the first country I really visited was China, because I stayed 3 days in Shanghai as a layover, and then I continued to... to Japan because I was just fascinated by. I saw a documentary about Shanghai being the richest city in 1930s and all these, you know, beautiful buildings and Art Deco and Art Deco
Chinese
heaven.
Chinese Deco. No, that's Shanghai Deco.
Yeah, Shanghai Deco and all this stuff. And many Czechoslovakian architects worked in Shanghai.
I didn't even know.
So I was very interested by that merge of Western and Eastern, you know, aesthetics. And I was very taken by it. And then I just keep going every other year to Japan, every other year to India, stopping every time in China on my way to Japan. Very interesting.
So is this the differences that you are interested, that you brought into some of your artworks?
Yeah. But it's the differences, but at the same thing, the similarities. Because I think that the communication between East West has always been, you know, West is always influenced by East.
West doesn't believe that they're influenced by the East.
You know, I've got a friend philosopher, and she told me every religion they move from East to West. Always, Christianity is coming from Middle East to Europe.
True.
You know,
Middle East, yes.
Then, like, the India is the middle point, and then from India it moves to the East.
East, yeah. Buddhism.
So to us, you know, the religion is coming from the East. Everything is coming from the East. The silk is coming from the East. This is what we prize the most. The blue color, the most expensive color in Middle Ages, coming from Afghanistan. You know, so everything we praise, really in the West, comes from the East. And I like that idea, but people are not really aware of it because of chauvinism. So I wanted to go, you know, and to rewind in some way this story of how Eastern art influences the Western art. And there always been influences. You look at the Turkish carpets in all the best Vermeers. They are always Turkish carpets. And they are so brilliantly painted. He paid more attention to a Turkish carpet than the faces of people at the end of the day.
I love you, Mikhail, because you celebrate Eastern culture and the Chinese culture. The Chinese would love you for the Eastern culture. And at this point, I want to thank you for a very nice podcast talking to you and having you to talk about your works and not really your childhood, but I know now you are a child artist. You've been abused to do art, child labor. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Pearl. Thank
you. Can we eat now?
Yes, let's go.